quick class on how to manage in a non-observant environment over Pesach. So the first tip is don't do this to yourself. It's very recommended that you visit a non-observant environment on Sukkot or Shavuot, but not Pesach. You know, those are much easier to handle halachically, kashrut-wise. So my recommendation is always, first choice is don't do this to yourself, don't do it to other people, because it's much harder than any other situation. Let's start with the classical situation, and then we'll move on to Pesach. One of the hardships we have in a non-observant environment is not only whether the dishes are kosher or non-kosher, but also open food items. So let's say a person were to open a sour cream. Okay, you get one of those big tubs of sour cream, and he's eating his fully dairy meal with the sour cream. Now he leaves the sour cream in the fridge. When he comes back the next time, he'd like to think that no one touched his sour cream. But if we have a nice warm environment, if it's one's relatives who feel close to him, so they might think nothing of taking a dirty knife if they're in the middle of eating their breakfast with whatever meat they have, kosher or non-kosher, and dipping it in and taking some sour cream with their meat. So then you have the grease from the meat inside the sour cream from that knife. That's not kosher. You can't eat that. So my recommendation is that you buy small size containers so that you conclude, you finish every container. You don't use any open container from the fridge. That's a general recommendation. As far as cleaning out a microwave and capturing it, theoretically it could be done. Realistically, it's sometimes very difficult to clean a microwave. Now, what about a stovetop, assuming you're going to get your own dishes? So if you could clean it well, good. And if you can't clean it well, then you clean it as best you can. And then you can wrap it in two layers of silver foil. And then the grate, we're talking about the grate. You know, so then you could put your kosher pots on that grate. Ideally, you should turn the flame on after you've cleaned it. And then wrap it. If you could wait 24 hours, even better. But if you cannot do that, so you clean it, turn on the flame, and then after it's cooled off, you wrap it in two layers of tin foil. If you see the tin foil is tearing, so put on new layers of tin foil. If they are going to use the same grate that you're using, then you'll have to keep changing the tin foil, because if non-kosher drips on that tin foil, so then you've accomplished enough for this time that you're going to use that grate. Next time you have to change the tin foil, just be careful not to burn yourself. As far as dishes, so the simplest thing is to get plasticware, to start dealing with their dishes, kashering, toiveling. I don't think that's realistic. Being that most people go for a short visit, so, get a can of tuna. In most places in the United States, at least, you can get a kosher can of tuna. Matzah is a staple item. You can get bread. Don't be too machmir on the kashruyot. Eat chalav stam if it has an OU or an OK dairy. Or a cuff K and a triangle K on dairy or on fruit juices, okay? Meat is a different question. But on the fruit juices or on the dairy drinks, you can rely on that. What else are we going to discuss? So
like George,
what?
Like a George Foreman and stuff? Like what's the, like...
Theirs? That if you buy your own, okay, fine. If you could buy your own, but that's going to be expensive. And what? Yeah. The George Foreman, as far as I understand, comes in direct contact with the food, no?
Yeah.
I mean, it fries the meat. So the other way of doing it, if toiveling it will destroy it, so then we're talking about buying a new George Foreman, he's saying, or a sandwich maker. So if immersing it in the water of a mikveh would destroy it, so then you could take it apart. You can bring it to an electrician who would take out a wire so that it stops working, and then he reassembles it, and that makes it that it was assembled by a Jew. So
I
then
it to an Anjou.
To reassemble?
No, and I borrowed it from
a... Okay, you can do that too. That's fine. No, if necessary, you could do that also. You could give it to a non-Jew, and it's owned by them, and you borrow it from them. That's okay. So long as it's kosher, so you know. So that's for non-Pesach. Okay. We shift to Pesach. So again, my recommendation is you get disposable plates and glasses and cutlery. If you're going to eat on the same table as them, then you need to have your own tablecloth. Just like it would be a separation between meat and milk, you have to ensure that you're eating in a manner that no crumbs from any chametz that they're eating could fly into your food. You shouldn't share, meaning you shouldn't buy a big tub of sour cream, which you both use. Buy a small tub. Don't tell them overtly, I'm not sharing with you. It's not nice. They won't understand it. So be smart. You know, if you let's say you're going to split a can of tuna, so you take your half first and then give it to them. You know, because once they've used it, it's going to be very hard to ensure that no crumbs got in there. So you take your half and then give it to them. You shouldn't use any of the other things that are in the house, like their mustard or their ketchup, even if it says kosher for Passover. Who's careful, really, about crumbs and not touching the bun when they pour the ketchup, etc.? This is Pesach. You have to be more careful. You buy your own boxes of matzah. Their chametz is not your problem. You know, you got to ensure that your stuff is clean of chametz. But when you sit down to a table, you have to make a clear separation, just like between meat and milk. You have to make a clear separation. You shouldn't come to take their cracker from them. You also shouldn't carry the chametz. Meaning, even though you say their chametz is not your problem, but if they tell you, here, could you take this bag to the car? Let's say you're going on a trip together, and that bag has a loaf of bread in it. You cannot. You shouldn't be handling chametz either. So we said, you buy your own plastic cutlery. And now a few practical tips. I recommend buying a heating element. I think they still sell them in the United States too. They're dangerous if you're not careful with them. What they basically are is a coil, the same type of coil that heats up, the same type of coil that would heat up your water inside an electric tea kettle. So they sell them with a plug. It's got a wire, a plug, and just the coil with a handle. I recommend buying a cup. You can buy a ceramic cup for $1 or a glass cup if you have a mikveh accessible. If you don't have a mikveh accessible, buy a ceramic cup, because then you can rely on the opinions that the thin lining of glass on today's ceramic doesn't obligate immersing them. So you can rely on that in such a scenario. So you buy a brand new ceramic cup or two, and then you can put this heat element inside. The reason it's dangerous is because people forget it, or people handle it in a way that's dangerous, because it does get boiling hot. You have to be careful if there are kids around. But the advantage is you could boil water, you can cook eggs, right? If you can boil water, then you could also cook eggs. And that gives you some food without a huge expense. Now, one of the things you can make on Pesach that involves very little work is if you break up matzah into small pieces, so then the matzah is like a cereal, and then you pour in boiling water or boiled milk, and then you add a little bit of coffee or cocoa mix and sugar, so then you have yourself a very nice cereal. When I was in yeshiva, we didn't have food. They didn't serve us anything on Pesach. I was alone in yeshiva. Everyone else went home to their families, and I was alone here. That's what I did. I lived on that. Tuna, kosher for Pesach, tuna you could buy. Matzah with tuna is yummy. Butter, kosher for Pesach, was available back then. I don't know where you're going to be if you have that, but that's also very delicious. Kosher for Pesach, salt. You cannot buy salt unless it says kosher for Passover. Because
Mayonnaise?
In the United States, it's easy to access kosher for Pesach mayonnaise. In Israel, it's less. The ones they sell taste very, very different from mayonnaise. But what they call kosher for Passover mayonnaise in Israel is, I don't know what it is, but it doesn't taste like the mayonnaise we're used to. But in the United States, that's easier to access, kosher for Pesach mayonnaise. People think that what could be wrong with salt, but actually the salt that you buy undergoes a process in which they, in order to ensure that the salt doesn't form clots, it doesn't form balls, it doesn't coagulate, so they mix in a component which is chametz derivative, so that's a problem. So salt has to be kosher for Pesach. In general, today the food industry is so complex, you shouldn't really buy anything without a kosher for Pesach symbol. So if you break up matzah, so you could add hot water and you have nice soft matzah, you have matzah cereal, you add a little bit of sugar, a little bit of coffee, or a little bit of sugar and cocoa mix, cocoa powder, you have yourself a nice cereal, and you could break in like four matzahs into a cup. You have a whole meal, and that's not difficult. All you need is boiled water. Kosher Pesach milk, hopefully you'll be able to find. And again, matzah with tuna is delicious, matzah with cheese. Very often you can find kosher for Pesach cheese, even in far out places. So he said matzo tuna, matzo cheese, matzo with butter. Those are easy. Let's say you're traveling in Europe, where you don't find the OUP all over. So then you have to call the local rabbinate to find out what's available and what's not. The local rabbinates in different countries in Europe do know what you can buy, what they verified that's kosher for Pesach. So that you have to verify with the local rabbi. Okay, that's a quick overview. If you're going to prepare for a trip, so it's worthwhile to know that American cheese can last without refrigeration for a long time. Tuna lasts a long time. You can get beef jerky kosher for Pesach if you want to take along something. So those are easy foods that you can take along.
Hard-boiled eggs, fruit, and potatoes.
So fruit and potatoes, again, that's the potatoes is difficult if you don't have a way of cooking it. But eggs you can cook. You can make soft-boiled egg, hard-boiled egg, and then you have what to put on your matzah. Right, fruit and vegetables, that's a good one. Yeah, I forgot, in Chutzarts you don't have the issue of Shemitah, so fruit and vegetables are easier. Yeah.
No, like you're allergic to it.